And we're going to go to the word of the Lord now. If you would go to the book of Jeremiah, let's all stand today. I kind of got some scrambled notes here, but I'm going to read. We're going to go into Jeremiah chapter 18, which is where we were. We're going to read some of the same text that we read 2 weeks ago. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, I preached about the potter's, Jeremiah going to the potter's house. And I'm going to say some more things. Before we read Jeremiah, I want to read a passage out of 1 Corinthians that I think will help us take this to heart today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. And this is the Apostle Paul talking about things that happened to the people of God during Old Testament times. This is things that happened during Old Testament times. And he says this, "Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction." In other words, these things happened to them as an example, and they're written down for our instruction. In other words, Paul was saying, listen, these we need to learn from the past. And there is an old saying that says that those that do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. And so these things happen to them as an example. They are written down for our instruction, on whom the ends of the ages are come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. Now, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 18. This will be somewhat familiar. We read it 2 Sundays ago. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel, and the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up or break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it." Please bear in mind that up until now, in the previous 17 chapters, Jeremiah has been prophesying judgment that was going to be coming. The destruction of Jerusalem, the Babylonian Empire, Nebuchadnezzar coming down. And he says, but I just want you guys to know, if at any time I declare a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, if that nation repents of its evil, then I'm going to relent of the disaster I intended to do to it. Verse 9, "And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I intended to do to it." So if I can, I want to talk about, I don't know that this really is a very good title, but you will at least know what I'm talking about when I get done. The final place. The final place. Let's worship the Lord. God, we're so thankful for you, and we're thankful for your word. And Lord, open our minds, open our hearts, open our ears to hear your word, God. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. You can all be seated. Amen. You know, sometimes we're going to be going to Jeremiah chapter 19. And if you're like me, a lot of times you will read the Bible and you'll read 2 or 3 chapters out of the Bible. And Brother Christopher, then you'll shut your Bible and maybe go to sleep. Maybe you read your Bible at night before you go to bed. And so you'll read a couple of chapters and then shut your Bible, go to sleep. And then the next night you get up and you read a couple more chapters. But guess what? If you're like me, you've slept since then, you've ate 2 or 3 times, You've had stuff go on in your life, and you don't. Okay, everybody always needs to remember to keep their phones muted in service. I don't know how many more times I can tell you guys. I'm trying to be nice about this. Okay, trying to be nice about this. Anyway, it's easy to read the Bible one night, close it, and then not realize that the very next chapter is a continuation on of what you were reading the night before. And you end up not putting the two together. And I will admit to you that that's something that I did with this passage here. I did not realize the correlation and the relationship between Jeremiah chapter 18 with the potter's house and Jeremiah 19. Because we've read Jeremiah 18 talking about how God sent Jeremiah down to the potter's house, watched him work with the clay, and then let's look at the beginning of Jeremiah chapter 19. It says, thus says the Lord, go buy a what? Potter's earthenware flask. In other words, go buy a piece of pottery, Jeremiah. In the last chapter, you went to the potter's house. Now I want you to go and buy a piece of pottery and go get some of the, it says, take some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priests and go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom at the entry of the potsherd, as in pottery, the potsherd gate, and proclaim there all the words that I am going to tell you. So if you can, I don't have a piece of pottery that I can, I should have brought some kind of something, but that's exactly what Jeremiah did, is he got himself a piece of pottery and he went down there to the valley of the son of Hinnom, and he took some of the elders of Israel with him. And you say, well, Brother Wiggins, what's the valley of the son of Hinnom? Well, that was just on the outskirts of Jerusalem, on the south side. If you will, it's the other side of the tracks, so to speak. And if you look in the Old Testament, the place, the valley of the son of Hinnom, was where, this is going to be kind of dark, that was the place that when Israel was worshiping idols, when they were all tied up in idolatry, Cheapy, I'm so sorry, this is so dark. The valley of the son of Hinnom was where they would go and commit child sacrifice to pagan deities. Baal, Molech, and that's, you can, I purposely did not put the scriptures in my notes because I didn't want to make this too dark. But you can read it. If you don't believe me, go look at King Manasseh. It names it, the valley of the son of Hinnom, and it was there that they made their children pass through the fire, Molech. And God told Jeremiah, get yourself some pottery, get yourself some of the elders of Israel, and go down there to the valley of the son of Hinnom. And they went down there, and in chapter 19, verses 4, 5, and 6, here's what God told Jeremiah to say to them. It says, because the people have forsaken me and profaned this place by making offerings in it to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers nor the kings of Judah have known, because they have filled this place with the blood of what? Innocents. In other words, children. And have built high places to Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or decree. Verse 6, therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when this place shall no longer be called Topheth, or Valley of the Son of Hinnom, but it's going to be called the Valley of Slaughter. Let me tell you what he was saying to them. If you read on and you say, man, Brother Wiggins, what in the world happened in Missouri? You come back and, I'm sorry, we're just going through Jeremiah. I can't leapfrog over the top of it, folks. When what God was saying was, listen, you went and you slaughtered your children right here in this valley. Now I'm going to slaughter you in this valley. You killed them here. I'm going to give you a taste of what it's really like. Because in the same spot that you sacrificed your own children, I'm going to bring an end to you. And then he told Jeremiah, and Bill, don't go to verse 10 and verse 11 yet. Hold that until when I do that, okay? Just, you can have your finger on the button and be ready. And when I do that, he goes, and that Jeremiah 18, it was a potter's house. And the pottery was on the wheel. And remember how it was marred and the potter was able to remake it. And God told Israel, am I not able to do that to you too? You're flawed, you're messed up, you're in idolatry, but I can remake you if you will just repent, if you will turn from your wickedness and turn to me. And then he says, listen, if I decree that judgment is coming, if you guys repent, I will relent. I didn't mean to make a rhyme there, but he goes, if you'll repent, I'm going to relent of the evil that I would have done. What happened in Nineveh? Remember when Jonah went and preached in Nineveh? Said 40 days, Nineveh's going to fall. What did they do? Not only did they repented so hard that the king said, I'm going to go on a fast. Everybody else, we're even going to put the animals on a fast. The king put on sackcloth and ashes. He made all of the people put on sackcloth and ashes. If you read the book of Jonah, they even put sackcloth and ashes on their animals, Brother Johnson, to show their repentance and their brokenness unto God. And God relented of the evil that he was going to do to Nineveh. So now Jeremiah, in chapter 18, there's this, if you can call it the last altar call. Israel, let me form you, let me shape you, let me mold you. This doesn't have to happen. This doesn't have to be this way. But then he tells them in Jeremiah 19, get a piece of pottery and go down. And Bill, your turn to... Then you shall break the flask or the piece of pottery. The one talking about as though Israel could have been reshaped, could have been remolded, but they wouldn't repent. And so he says, you shall break the flask in the sight of men who go with you and shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, so will I break this people and this city as one who breaks a potter's vessel so that it can never be mended. Men shall bury in Topheth because there's no place else left to bury. And I'm just going to tell you, God is merciful, but God just doesn't want his mercy taken for granted. And there was a day and a time in which things finally reached a nexus to where there could be no more relenting. And when Jeremiah was at the potter's house, that was like the final altar call. That was their final chance to avert judgment and have Jerusalem not be totally destroyed and not have people murdered and slaughtered. But they did not understand. They just did not understand. And I'm going to say one more thing, and then believe it or not, we're going to be done. I purposely don't have a lot of notes because the more I talk after about 20 minutes, I start coughing, and then I don't stop coughing. So I've got about another 5 minutes worth of talking, or else. Anyway. Interestingly enough, does anybody know how to say the Valley of Hinnom in kind of a Greek manner? Anybody know? Any ideas? Gehenna. Now, does Gehenna mean anything to anybody here? If it does, raise your hand. Sister Eunice, what was...
Hell.
Huh?
Hell. Burning.
You said hell? Burning. Number one, you're correct. But let me ask you, why did Gehenna make you think of hell and burning?
I'm not sure.
You've heard it preached. Okay, good. Brother Carl, what did it make you...
I think that's the actual word they use for hell in the New Testament, isn't it?
Interestingly enough, yes. Jesus used the word Gehenna 11 times. Used it 11 times. Let me give you a couple of them. Just, if your right eye offends you, what? Pluck it out. Be better to go through life with only one eye than both eyes and get thrown into Gehenna. Okay? How about this one? Jesus says, don't fear them who have power just to kill the body, but can't do anything over the soul. Fear him who has power to kill the body, but then throw the soul into Gehenna. Matthew chapter 23, he's rebuking the Pharisees, and this one's not in my notes, Bill. He's rebuking the Pharisees, and he says, oh, you Pharisees, how will you escape the fires of Gehenna? Okay? And I've done all this reading through the years about Gehenna, how it was like a trash dump, and that he used that. And the Jehovah's Witness used this, by the way. Jehovah's Witness say, oh, we don't really believe in hell. Jesus was just talking about a junkyard that where there was always fire. And it's just called it Gehenna. You're just going to be like something that gets thrown in the junkyard. Well, let me tell you why I think Jesus used the word Gehenna. The nation of Israel came to a screeching halt. The 10 tribes in the north and the 2 tribes down in the south, which would be Judah, came to a screeching halt at the valley of Hinnom, of the son of Hinnom. In the Jewish mind, for centuries afterwards, the valley of the son of Hinnom was in their mind. This is what I read. The final resting place. Not resting, but the final destination. That was the final destination. And Jesus knew when he used that word Gehenna, and he used it 11 times, that Jew's mind would go to the final destination. The final destination. And so that is why, in my opinion, Jesus used the word Gehenna. Because he was using it, saying, if you guys don't repent, if you don't repent, this is going to be your final destination. And again, I don't want to be so dark today. But I want you to see here that in chapter 19, he took that piece of pottery and he had, which was symbolic of the nation of Israel, and he told Jeremiah, you smash that thing. But just remember, before he ever told Jeremiah to smash that vessel, in the chapter before, he was saying, oh, Israel, I'm the potter. You are the clay. Israel, let me make you into a new vessel. Let me mold you. Let me shape you. And if ever I have decreed judgment, if you'll repent, I will relent of the judgment that I was going to do. Before there was ever, and let's all stand today. Before there was ever judgment, there was mercy. Before there was ever judgment, there was patience and long-suffering. And we are dealing with the God that ultimately does take care of his business. But I hope that I have shown you today that while he is a God of judgment and vindication, for 17 chapters, he has shown nothing but mercy, nothing but long-suffering, nothing but patience, nothing but preach it this way, Jeremiah. Preach it that way, Jeremiah. Is there any way we can get some repentance? And as dark as this passage may sound, I take comfort in the fact that it came only as a final result. There had been so much mercy, so much long-suffering. And so I don't want any of you to say, Brother Wiggins, I'm scared of God now. I'm scared of what he might do to me. I mess up and I step on a crack in the sidewalk and all of a sudden, boom, that's it. No. 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 God is a God of mercy. And that God of mercy is here today. And I am so thankful. I am so thankful for mercy. I'm so thankful for mercy. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord today. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I bless your name, Lord. God, I give you thanks and glory and honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Normally, Sister Wiggins comes up and let's just all gather around the front here for a moment. Amen. You know, I look at things this way. In my walk with God, I'm going to tell you what my walk with God has been. I wish I could say that my walk with God has just been one continuous like this. But you know, for everybody, sometimes there's three steps forward, one step back. Sometimes there's three steps forward, two steps back. The process of sanctification, which sanctification is just the process of becoming holy, is a road that, Sister Carmen, we walk on our entire life. We spend a lifetime, Brother Johnson, in this process of sanctification, this process of becoming holy, becoming closer to God, becoming more Christ-like. And we do so by his grace and by his mercy. And as the Apostle Paul said, O wretched man that I am. And then he says, I give thanks unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, it's by his mercy, it's by his kindness. And I think that we have seen his mercy on these people. Let's worship the Lord. God, I thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just take a moment here and stand and let's just... contemplate and let's be in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. God, I love
you. I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus.
Worship the Lord today. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.